From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. April is National Poetry Month, so I'm speaking with Camille Conti. She's organizing a classic poetry slam on April 2nd at the main event. Conti is many things, but among them, she hosts The Camille Conti Show, a podcast that mixes real conversations about life with rock and roll. She's also the author of the book The Confusion Experiment and a longtime lover of all things slam poetry. Back in the 90s, she helped found the Alaska Poetry League.
It was a beautiful thing. It was an organic, wonderful emergence of a group of people who just came together. We knew slams were happening elsewhere, and we thought, why don't we do this? And so we did. It was Deborah Brown was a part of it, Peter Porco, myself, Lila Vogt, and others. And we created the Alaska Poetry League. And this is in the 90s. And we started replicating these poetry slams. We had the great club, the Fly By Night Club. It was the perfect venue. And we just started to roll that ball. What happened was we qualified a team for nationals, and we went to 4 nationals in a row. But we also ended up traveling the state. So we would take the slam to Anchorage, but then we went down to Cooper Landing. We did it at Alice's Champagne Restaurant, you know, at the time in Homer. We went up to Fairbanks. So it was a really large portion of what was entertaining and of the arts here in Anchorage. And it was just a fabulous experience. So it was just a beautiful thing.
Any sort of active participation going on these days, or what does it kind of look like now?
You know, that's interesting for me personally, and I just kind of had a panic attack the other day because I have been out of town for quite a bit, you know, caring for my mom, and I got back in May of 21 full time. And I realized the other night, oh my gosh, I don't know if I know the poets community, because I was a little stuck in the ones I know and the ones I love and I grew up with, so to speak. So I went about reaching out to a lot of people, like my friend Brian Hutton, who's doing his own poetry event on Friday night, the 5th, and Bruce Farnsworth and Karina Delgado, and just said, hey, can you get the word out? So hopefully the poets in our community are putting their pens to paper, so to speak, and are hearing this wonderful connection with you and are going to come out on Tuesday and slam.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that really quick. So in a practical sense, how does, you know, a typical poetry slam work, and will this upcoming one kind of follow these traditional rules or, you know, regulations of a competitive poetry, I guess?
Exactly. And that's why I put the word classic in there, because it is a classic slam. So the first thing that makes it classic for us is that it has celebrity judges. We have this wonderful roster of 6 celebrity judges. Then it's 3 rounds and 3 minutes. So a poet has 3 minutes to perform their piece. Otherwise, they get the bell, the whistle, the horn, and that's that. And these judges score on a scale of, you know, 0 to 10. And we take off the top and the lowest scores, we combine them, and it becomes a progressive competition. So let's say we get all 16 poets, that would be our max. The top 8 move on to the second round. Then the top 4 go on to the final round. So poets have to come with 3 poems, original pieces, no props on stage, no phones on stage. And that's how we started.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there kind of some strategy to, all right, I've got 3 poems, number 1 is a little bit stronger, but maybe not quite as strong as this one. Is there kind of a tactic in which round you're going to present your poems in, potentially?
I would say there has been over the years. I've seen the strategy that poets use. Your first poem, you want to wow them. You want to get them right off the bat. You want to make that emotional connection with them, or get them laughing, or whatever that connection is. The second poem oftentimes is something that people want to say. That's maybe a more vulnerable or a more deeper representation of who they are and what they're thinking about, or what concerns them, just in case they believe they're not going to make it to the last round.
They can at least get that one out.
Exactly. And then the third is oftentimes whatever they've got left, or the one they're holding for the last, you know, wallop, so to speak.
Yeah.
We also have cash prizes. That's part of the template as well. And before I came over to here today, I got a phone call from a beautiful human being who wants to remain anonymous, and that's fine, but they are going to double the cash prizes. I think this is the most ever, for certainly for me. So first prize is going to get $150. Second prize is going to get $100. And then we're going to do the People's Choice Award. That's the person we love, but maybe didn't get the scores. And they'll receive $50. So it's a lucrative night for people who consider themselves poets.
And, you know, if you don't make any money, at least you'll get to hear some great poetry, I'm sure.
And that's the thing. It's real medicine for these times. You go to a slam, you get inspired. Your soul gets fed. It's a very specific environment, and you really don't realize how important it is to put yourself in those environments until you go, and then you leave. And that's really a guarantee. There's something just special about coming together as a community and witnessing these courageous people that get up on stage and just bare their heart and soul for the rest of us. But it's also important to me to have a variety of judges on the panel. And so I'm really proud of the people that said, yes, we've got, I mean, when you're talking celebrity in Anchorage, you have to go to the first one. That's Jackie Purcell. So she's our one of our celebrity judges. Andrew Halcrow, who is a big political pundit, mm-hmm. he represents that slice. Eddie P., who's a phenomenal multimedia star in our community, hosts the venue that's been going on 24 years now. I've got Aaron Leggett, who is the president of the Eklutna Tribal Council, this young, fabulous guy that's seeking to rewrite the narrative of his people. Vered Mares, who runs the writer's block. Thank you. I had a writer's block. A writer's block bookstore and cafe. And she's also doing her own poetry events there. So that's beautiful. And the last one is Olympic bronze medalist Rosie Fletcher. I mean, seriously, cool.
Yeah,
like
it's
this
very
is
diverse
a
bunch.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, this is going to be really fun.
Well, let's kind of talk about that, like that kind of communal experience, because, you know, granted, they're competing against each other. There's a cash prize and stuff. But it does seem like it's the type of environment that is going to be very open and welcoming, because how else could you really express yourself in public
exactly.
like that, I guess?
There's nothing but love in the room for the poets, right? And I've seen people get up with a diary and, you know, hands are shaking and they read from their diary. They don't go on. But that is as beautiful and as an important moment as someone who, you know, is more of a professional slammer, so to speak, and gets up there and performs and they're off page and all of that. So it's just that connective tissue, so to speak, as my dear friend Christina would say, that I think we're yearning for.
Sometimes I feel like, you know, poems can be deceptively simple, just as far as their construction. It could be just a few lines or something, but I think there is maybe something attractive to that where you're just like, wow, that person just distilled a thought down into a couple of sentences that just really opened something in my mind or my heart.
And the thing about slam poetry is that there is that performance element, that theatrical opportunity to be off the page and to be in the skin of your poem and to really deliver it with the emotional integrity that is there. A lot of time there's anger and angst in poetry, but often a lot of times it's very funny. A lot of times it has to do with headlines and things happening in the world. Sometimes it just has to do with what's happening in your own heart and life.
Well, I mean, do you make poetry yourself? And yeah, like what does that look like for you as far as making your own?
I am writing poetry. I have a poem I'm writing right now called "I Need a Break from Humanity." It's a real poem. It's quite good, actually. And mostly what I do is when I get inspired, I just grab my phone and start talking. I'm more of an audio person than a writer, per se, though I have written a book and I do write. It just is very organic. It really just like is an itch. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, get the phone. And it'll come out in pieces. Sometimes it comes out more full than pieces. But my other real creative work is, you know, I have a podcast and I have a lot of content that I share with people. So I'm really excited to just be in connection with people. And I love this venue and I'm looking forward to doing other community events. Maybe we can come together and do dialogue or, you know, put on some great music and dance. I think we just need a place to hang out and have some fun.
You said it's open to sign up, but if people are interested in participating in the slam, how can they take part?
Literally, poets come to the door at 6 and they sign up at the door. And from 6 to 6:30, we'll take a list of poets, up to 16 for sure. We may take two extra just in case something happens with the people that signed up. So you come to the venue, the main event. Doors open at 6. You're a poet. You'll go in a particular line and you'll sign up. Then we'll take everybody's name. We'll scramble them up. And then we write them up on the board. And that is the order in which poets get up on stage and slam.
Yeah. And maybe just to try to alleviate any of the stress that anybody who's never like gotten up on stage and done it before, can you explain what the sacrificial poet is?
Yes.
I love that.
The sacrificial poet. And it's a wonderful poet. And it's a mystery poet that we'll announce, obviously, the night of the event. This is the poet that's sacrifices themselves, and they sacrifice their poem so that the judges have a bit of a practice, right? We like to give the judges a chance to have an experience of what it's going to be like for them to have somebody get up there, slam their piece, and then get your scorecards and judge them. That's what the sacrificial poet does. They get up, they slam, and it gives the judges a chance to practice what they're going to be doing all night.
Well, you know, we've kind of talked about it a little bit, you know, just about the communal aspect of, you know, the slams and stuff. But, you know, what's your pitch for poetry in general, or either consuming it or, you know, maybe somebody taking the plunge to start making it on their own?
Well, the first thing that just came up for me as you were asking that question is Amanda Gorman. When she got up during the inauguration, that is the power of the word. April is National Poetry Month. And I just encourage people to get out of any confining thoughts they have about themselves and what they can and can't do, and simply go to the computer or pick up your journal or go to your phone and start talking and just allow yourself to experience yourself speaking your words without any concern about perfection or editing or anything like that. Just get it out. In a way, like this is why people stand on the corner, right? Like, you know, talking to everybody because they need to get it out of their system. So for me, the word is very important. You know, as someone who has a music show, the word becomes the lyric, and those lyrics either uplift you, console you, you know, whatever they're doing, but there's nothing like the word. So that's what I would say, is just go for it. And if you're questioning whether or not to come out because you're just starting or anything, you will be loved, you will be applauded, and it will give you the kind of confidence that will make you continue. Because getting up on a stage is a game changer for people. And I think it's really important to give poets that opportunity to have themselves experience themselves worthy for the stage and the spotlight and the audience that's already been created for them. So I would just say it's use the month of April to write.
Awesome. Well, that's about all I've got for it. Thank you
so
much for coming in.
Thank you so much. This has been great. I really appreciate it.
That was Camille Conti. She's organizing a classic poetry slam on April 2nd at the main event in honor of National Poetry Month. We'll have links with more information on the State of Art page. And if you're looking for more ways to get poetry into your life, here's a short list. On April 3rd from 6 to 7 p.m., there's an evening of poetry and connection at Writer's Block hosted by the Anchorage Baha'i community. On April 5th from 5 to 10 p.m., there's the Zine Thing Fling Ding at Seed Lab, and from 7 to 9 p.m. that night, they're going to be doing an open mic. And on April 13th, there is a poetry slam at Writer's Block at 6:30. Signups are 5:30. April 13th, 6 p.m., there's an open mic at Rage City Vintage. April 23rd, from 2 to 3:30, there is senior poetry at the Mountain View Library. And on April 24th, from 6 to 8 p.m., there's an open mic at Writer's Block. Special thanks to Brian Hutton for the help. And that's all the time we have for you today. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
State of Art is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Theme music is Spring Breakup by Termination Dust. Get in touch with the host by sending an email to soa@alaskapublic.org.